Welcome to the deep dive. We've got some really interesting research here from Anthropic today.
Yeah, that's right.
And our mission really is to unpack how they're trying to take these huge, complex language models and break them down, turn them into pieces we can actually, you know, understand.
Exactly. It's kind of the core problem, isn't it? We've built these incredibly powerful AIs. They write, translate, code. It's amazing stuff.
Right.
But for the longest time, we haven't really known how they do it. I mean, we get the math, the neural network basis, but not the why behind the specific behaviors. And that makes it super hard to fix things when they go wrong, or maybe more importantly, to make sure they're actually safe and reliable.
Okay, so it's that classic black box issue. We see the magic, but the inner workings are a mystery, which, yeah, makes trust difficult.
Precisely. It's like you know how to drive, but if the engine sputters, you're lost. And forget trying to design a better engine.
Right.
So this research offers a path forward. It suggests shifting focus away from just looking at individual neurons.
The basic building block.
Yeah, the tiny switches. And instead, look at these things called features.
Features. Okay, you mentioned these are combinations of neuron activity. Help us picture that.
Okay, think of like a chord in music. It's not just one note, right?
No, several together.
Exactly. It creates something richer. A feature is kind of similar. It's a specific pattern of activation across many neurons firing together. So instead of one neuron maybe lighting up for the word cat, a feature might activate for the whole concept of, say, feline predator, picking up on related words, contexts, maybe even behaviors described in the text.
Ah, okay. So it's a higher level pattern representing a more complex idea. And the researchers found these features can be surprisingly specific. Things like DNA sequences or legal language.
Yeah, the specificity is pretty striking. It's almost like the model itself is organizing its knowledge into these, well, these distinct conceptual units. It means instead of trying to make sense of billions of individual neuron firings.
Which sounds impossible.
Right. We can potentially look at these features to get a clearer picture of what the model actually knows and how it's reasoning.
That definitely sounds more manageable for us humans. But the big question, how do we know these features are genuinely more understandable? How do we, you know, validate that claim?
Crucial question. And they tackled this really carefully. They essentially asked, can humans actually make sense of these features? Do they consistently map onto coherent ideas?
Okay. And I saw they use human evaluators, but it was a blind test.
Exactly. They showed people information about when a specific component, either a feature or just a single neuron, was active and how it seemed to influence the model's predictions, like what word it would say next.
Yeah.
But the evaluators had no idea which type of component they were looking at. Then they had to score how well they could actually form a hypothesis about what that component represented.
Based on what criteria?
It was quite detailed. Things like, how confident are you in this explanation? Does the activation pattern consistently match your explanation? Do the downstream effects, how it nudges the model's predictions, make sense with your idea? And is the concept you identified specific or just vague?
And what came out of that? Did the features actually score better?
Massively better. The median score for neurons was basically zero. People just couldn't confidently guess what they were doing.
Wow, zero.
Whereas the median score for these feature intervals was, I think, 12 on their scale, indicating evaluators could form confident, specific, consistent hypotheses about what they represented. It's strong evidence that features are just, well, more interpretable.
That's a pretty stark difference.
And importantly, they didn't just look at the moments when things were firing really strongly. They sampled across the whole range of activation levels.
Why is that important?
Because sometimes a neuron might look like it does one thing when it's highly active, but actually it's involved in lots of different things at lower activation levels. It helps avoid this illusion that neurons have just one single job.
Makes sense. Avoids getting fooled by the obvious cases. Now, they also used AI itself, Claude, to help interpret these features. That sounds meta.
It's pretty neat, yeah. They basically asked Claude to look at the text snippets that strongly activated a feature and write a description of what that feature seemed to be about.
Okay.
Then they used another model to test how well Claude's description could predict when that feature would activate on completely new text it hadn't seen before.
So AI explaining itself, and then another AI checking that explanation.
Kind of, yeah. It's an automated way to gauge interpretability, and the results lined up really well with the human evaluations.
How so?
Again, Claude's descriptions were much better at predicting the behavior of features compared to individual neurons. They even tested if the descriptions could predict the feature's influence on the next word, those logit weights we mentioned. And features won out there, too. It shows this agreement between human judgment and automated analysis, which really bolsters the case.
Okay, so the validation seems solid. Features look more interpretable. Let's dig into the specifics. They did deep dives on particular features, right? Like one for Arabic script.
They did. And these individual case studies are fascinating because they show these features aren't just vague correlations. They seem to be functionally specific units the model is actually using.
So take the Arabic script feature. What did they find? How does it work?
Well, they used computational tools, proxies, to automatically estimate how Arabic a piece of text was.
Right.
And they found a strong correlation. This specific feature activated much more intensely when the model saw Arabic script, especially in the higher activation ranges.
But not always. You mentioned related features.
Yeah. Interestingly, it wasn't a perfect one-to-one thing. Sometimes other similar Arabic-related features would activate instead, suggesting maybe a distributed system where different features handle nuances, like different tokenization patterns or aspects of the script.
Okay, so a team effort, maybe.
Potentially. And they calculated a pretty strong statistical correlation, like 0.74 Pearson correlation, between the feature's activation and their Arabic script detector proxy.
But how do we know the model uses it? Maybe it just happens to light up when Arabic appears.
That's the key test. They did intervention experiments. First, they ablated it, basically turned the feature off artificially.
And what happened?
The model got worse at predicting Arabic words. Then they did the opposite. They pinned the feature, forcing it to be highly active.
And
the model started generating Arabic script. That's strong evidence for a causal role. It's not just noticing Arabic. It's involved in processing and producing it.
That's compelling. Did it map cleanly to one neuron?
No, and that's a crucial point. They looked at the individual neurons contributing to this feature. The single neuron most correlated with it actually responded to a mix of different non-English languages, not just Arabic.
So the feature is clearer than any single neuron within it.
Exactly. It highlights why features might be a better unit of analysis. And one more thing, they found a highly similar Arabic script feature in a totally different, independently trained model.
Whoa, suggesting universality.
Yeah.
Like, maybe models learn these same concepts independently.
It certainly hints at that possibility, yeah. It's a very intriguing finding.
And they found similar things for other specialized features, DNA sequences, Base64.
Absolutely. For DNA, they found a feature strongly correlated with an automated DNA sequence detector, you know, sequences of A, T, C, G.
Right.
It was pretty specific, even recognizing DNA with some minor variations. And the downstream effects made sense. It pushed the model towards predicting likely nucleotide combinations. Again, not tied to a single neuron, and again, they found a similar feature in another model.
In Base64, that encoding format.
Yep. They found a feature highly specific to Base64 strings. Turning it on made the model more likely to output Base64 tokens. Like the others, it wasn't just one neuron doing the work, and it had a counterpart in the other model they looked at. And what was cool there was when they tried decomposing the model into an even larger set of features, that original Base64 feature actually seemed to split into more fine-grained ones, potentially distinguishing between different types of Base64.
So, like, zooming in reveals more detail.
Exactly. Finer resolution gives more nuanced understanding. These detailed analyses across different types of concepts like script, code, biological sequences, really build confidence that this dictionary learning method is pulling out genuinely meaningful, functional parts of the model. They also looked briefly at a Hebrew script feature, same story. High specificity, no obvious single neuron found in other models.
Okay, so individual features check out. But what about the big picture? Are most features interpretable, or do they just highlight the really good ones?
That's always the worry with examples, right? Cherry picking. But they went back to those large-scale analyses, the blinded human ratings and the automated Claude interpretability scores. And both methods consistently showed that, on average, features are significantly more interpretable than neurons. Remember, the median human score for neurons was 0.
Yeah.
For features, it was much higher. And Claude's ability to predict activations based on its own descriptions was way better for features. Same for predicting the logit effects. Claude's average accuracy was something like 74% for features versus 58% for neurons. So across the board, features seem easier to understand.
But were there caveats? Didn't they mention something about how often features are active?
Yes, good point. Features tend to be sparser. They activate less often than the average neuron. And the way they sampled features for evaluation was uniform, which might not perfectly reflect how important each feature is overall. Maybe the most important features are also the most interpretable, or vice versa.
So that could skew the average result a bit.
It's possible, but the researchers felt, based on just looking at lots and lots of features themselves, that these caveats probably don't change the main takeaway. Features are generally more interpretable.
Okay, makes sense. So we have these interpretable building blocks. How much of the model's actual capability do they explain? Are we talking like 10% of the story or closer to the whole thing?
Yeah, the how much is explained question. That's still an active research area, and they're pretty open about that. One metric they use is called loss recovery.
Loss recovery.
Basically, it measures how much of the performance of a key part of the model, the MLP layer, one of the main computational blocks, can be reproduced just using the features they found.
And what did they find for their main model?
For the model they call A1, they found the features recovered about 79% of the log likelihood loss reduction provided by that whole MLP layer.
79%. That sounds pretty substantial.
It does seem significant, yeah. And they suggest that finding even more features, maybe with a larger dictionary, could push that number higher.
But caveats apply here too, I assume.
Definitely. They mentioned there is likely a long tail, lots of features that contribute just a tiny bit, making it hard to capture absolutely everything. Also, not every feature they found is perfectly easy to interpret. And some might still be doing multiple things, a sort of hidden complexity.
Right.
But crucially, those targeted experiments we talked about, ablating or activating specific interpretable features, like the Arabic one, did show real understandable effects on behavior. That gives us confidence that the 79% isn't just some abstract number. It reflects that these features are genuinely contributing.
So good progress, but still work needed on better metrics to really quantify understanding.
Exactly. Measuring how well an interpretation truly explains a model is a big challenge in itself.
Okay, one last angle. Are these features telling us about the model itself, how it learned to structure knowledge? Or are they just reflecting patterns already present in the massive amount of text data it was trained on?
The model versus data question. It's a really fundamental one.
How did they try to disentangle that?
They did a clever control experiment. They took a model architecture, but instead of training it, they just filled its connections, its weights, with random numbers.
So a scrambled brain, essentially.
Pretty much. Then they ran their dictionary learning feature finding process on that randomized model.
And what kind of features did it find?
Much less coherent stuff. Mostly features that just responded to single specific words or seemingly arbitrary combinations of inputs. Nothing like the meaningful concept level features like Arabic script or DNA sequence found in the properly trained model.
Interesting. So the learning process itself seems crucial for creating these structured features.
That's what it strongly suggests. Yes. The meaningful structure appears to emerge during training. It's not just inherent in the random architecture or trivially mirrored from data correlations.
And the downstream effects.
Right. The fact that activating a feature has interpretable consequences for what the model does next, consequences that weren't explicitly used when finding the feature that's further evidence. It suggests the model actively uses these features. They're not just passive reflections of input statistics.
Okay, so summing up. It feels like this decomposition into features is a really promising direction. We have solid validation, both human and automated, showing they're more interpretable than just looking at neurons.
Exactly. And those deep dives into specific features show they're not just abstract labels. They have real causal effects on the model's behavior.
Plus, the hint of universality, finding similar features in different models, is fascinating. It suggests we might be tapping into some fundamental ways these systems learn to represent the world.
It definitely feels like a step towards genuinely understanding these complex systems from the inside out.
And the implications seem huge. You mentioned the researchers even saw hints of more complex interactions, like systems of features working together, maybe even forms of memorization happening at this feature level.
Yeah, they touch upon observing things that look like finite state automata, simple computational systems emerging from feature interactions, and seeing how specific features relate to the model memorizing training data. It suggests a much richer, more structured internal organization than maybe we appreciated before.
Which really opens up new questions, doesn't it? If we can understand these internal mechanisms, these feature interactions, what does that mean for building safer, more reliable AI? Can we eventually predict or even control behavior at this level?
That's the hope, I think. It's early days, but understanding this internal structure feels critical for progress in AI safety and alignment. There's obviously a lot more to explore. If you really want the nitty-gritty details, the original papers are definitely worth a read.
Absolutely. Well, this has been incredibly insightful. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us today. It certainly paints a clearer picture, even if a complex one, of what might be going on under the hood.
My pleasure. It's fascinating stuff.
Definitely food for thought. Until our next exploration, keep wondering.